Big sporting weekend ahead. Both of our live FA Cup matches this weekend evoke special memories for Cherries and Saints fans for different reasons. Bournemouth are at Aston Villa, a ground they've only ever played at twice, the first match of which has gone down in folklore for fans of both clubs.
It was a big game, without question. I mean, we were in the third division in those days, and it was us and Bournemouth were neck and neck.
I used to see the boss of Cozy Coaches every week, and he said he had 59 coaches going up. So I knew there was a lot going, and just from talking to friends. And
the numbers of Bournemouth fans that were at that game has been quoted as anything between 5 and 10,000.
As the game built up, they were announcing how many fans were in the ground at that time.
There was police horses controlling the queues of people waiting to pay to get in.
There are now 25,000 fans in the ground.
Kids would get under the turnstiles and things like that.
There are now 32,000.
I was in the Witten Road stand. I was in the upper tier.
40,000.
We were in a mixed grandstand with plenty of Villa fans surrounding us.
45,000.
It was quite primitive. Yeah, they just seemed to pack as many people into the ground as they can.
Can't remember exactly when they said there were 48,000 in there, but everybody was willing the crowd to be higher and higher.
I think Bournemouth took the lead within, 15 to 20 minutes. And they'd been playing well, and then they started to assert themselves.
It was from a Villa attack, and Bournemouth broke away.
Tony Powell knocked a ball inside. Ted McDougall turned just inside the Villa half, swept the ball out to Tony Scott, who'd switched wings from the left to the right. Beautiful curling cross.
McDougall lost George Curtis.
And he just took off horizontally and just headed it into the corner.
McDougall, Scott on the right. Boyer on the other post. McDougall. What a classic diving header.
Brilliant goal. Absolutely fantastic.
Could have heard a pin drop, really, because it was at the halt end as well, sir.
You hope for these things, but you don't expect it. And I'm just now feeling the shivers going up my legs and my spine. And
I'd have been quite happy with the draw, the way both teams are playing.
And the crowd started to get behind them.
They were just shouting, Villa, Villa, and it was on the Villa. It was like a whip crack.
They started to play, and Bournemouth were beginning to start to hang on from as early as the 60 minutes or so. So it was going to be a long haul.
The first one was a bit of a scrappy goal.
And Jeff Fowden slotted it in.
Next thing you know, Fred Davis, the Bournemouth goalie, was picking the ball out of the net.
Hamilton. Davis has come for it.
It felt like the whole team was going and sucking the balls into the net.
I don't even like mentioning his name, Andy Lockett. I think that was the winner.
He was a big battering ram of a centre forward.
He scored a very good goal. He was brilliant with his head. And we were 2-1 down, and it really was backs against the wall then to try and get back.
Just listen to this crowd now getting behind Villa. They haven't had much to cheer until that goal. Lockhead going for it. And recovery!
I've got to admit, it was a relief. We thought we'd walk all through these, but Bournemouth were a good team on the day. Very good. They played well.
I don't think you can underestimate how big a deal this game was at the time.
And that was one of the few occasions when a third division game was actually broadcast on Match of the Day. That was the interest in the game.
Villa was by far and away the biggest league match that I think any Bournemouth fan will ever see, unless we get to the Premiership.
Hey, less true words have been spoken. That is fantastic. And a thank you to Russell Crewe from Like It Is Media, I must say that, who helped me with those brilliant archives of those people talking about their memories of 1972. That was a third division match, of course, in front of 48,000 fans at Villa Park. Memorable, really, for that diving header by Ted McDougall. Good evening, Super Ted.
How are you doing?
Nice to have you back on the show, sir. How are you? We're fine.
Fantastic, yeah, great.
What about listening to that then? What did you think? Because I can't help wondering, while I was listening to it, what on earth was it like in the changing room? Could you sense it all in the game?
Actually, I had to take my ear away from the phone because the noise was deafening.
That's just me talking.
Yeah, no. It was fantastic. And Bournemouth were flying, as the people remember. and we were a very, very good team. And to go to Villa, I mean, 48,000, as he said, I think that only got broken a few years ago. I think Sheffield United and Sheffield Wednesday, if I remember right. I think they broke the record eventually. But it lasted a long time, and you know, it was a tough league to get out of it then, because I think it was only two teams that went up.
It's nice, isn't it? There's a couple of generations of Cherries fans, Ted, who will be wondering why Villa and Bournemouth were in the same division. Of course, it just seems so odd. And now we look at the two of them in the today, and there's only a few places separating them from the top of the Championship and to the bottom half of the Premier League. But that afternoon, did you know before the game it was going to be like that? Because it seems to have caught everyone out a bit.
No, I had no realisation, to be perfectly frank. I think when we played them down here at Dean Court, I think there was 20-odd thousand on then.
And you beat them.
And it was just the way Bournemouth were at that particular time. They were big news. And, you know, that just, you know, catapulted it into being, obviously, match of the day, which, as the person said, is, you know, third division match of the day is quite unbelievable, really.
What about that diving header then, Ted? Come on, how much did that do for your career?
Well, no, because I couldn't do anything with my feet. So I was absolutely rubbish with my feet. So at the end of the day, I just, you know, it was easier to head it. And it was actually a goal that we used to practice a lot, because what happened is Phil Boyer, if you ever see it, Phil Boyer makes a run to the near post, takes the defender away and creates the space for me to go into. And I was actually running fast because I think the centre-half, I think he said it was George Kirby,
yeah,
he used to kick people for fun.
He did.
And I think I was running away because I was scared, I think.
George Curtis had an injury, didn't he?
An extra yard on my pace.
Well, you didn't need it against Curtis. I thought he went to Villa with an injury he tried to play with for about 2 years, but he was a no-nonsense customer, wasn't he?
Oh, no, well, every centre-half was like that. I mean, you know, if you went past them, they all had cauliflower ears and kind of looked like boxers, and I'll break your so-and-so leg if you do that again, you know. And I used to kind of just try and jolly them along and be happy with them, and then all of a sudden try and kind of, you know, get on the wrong side of them.
Cool. I'll tell you what, Ted, one thing did come to mind watching that, apart from the size of the crowd and the noise, was the pitch. I mean, there is no grass on it. It is a proper winter 1970s pitch. Well, the ball hardly rolls.
Well, that was a better pitch. That was a good one.
They wouldn't play on it today, would they?
Well, I mean, if they had put games like they have, you know, pitches like they have then, today, I would have been all right. But today, I don't think I could have played because I would have had nothing to blame.
I think you're doing yourself a disservice, to be honest. Now, I know you're in the country for a few days. You're still involved in junior football in the States, of course. Just a final thought from you before we head to the travel, Ted. You know, we're getting so much talk these days of Premier League players going to the MLS and things like the Lampard controversy staying. And I always think, I know the MLS teams are losing money, but is the interest in the MLS growing in the States, or does the Premier League still dominate it?
No, the Premier League is obviously the Premier League. But, I mean, the MLS has come a long way. They've got a lot of rivalries now, which is obviously great for the game. If you look on the West Coast, Seattle, Vancouver, you got Portland, then you go down to Los Angeles and stuff. I mean, there's a lot of rivalry now, and there's a lot of pockets, which there always has been. But the interest level is in the kids. The game is going through the roof. They'll not stop that game. They'll not stop it. They want to, because there's not the money in it when it comes to the colleges, you know.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's such a fantastic game, and I love it more now than I've ever loved it. And I think you'll find that when the kids that I'm coaching, when they have kids, it's all over, because it's just a fantastic game.
Yeah, it is. Ted, it's lovely to speak to you. I must say hello from my friend Toots, Yvonne, who has loved you for about 50 years. So she's always, she said to me last night, for goodness sake, send him my best because he's my hero. So I've done that.
Bless her.
If you change your mind and you want to come to Villa Park, I've got space in the car for you. Otherwise, you enjoy the commentary on our on BBC Radio Solent on Sunday afternoon,
Ted. I certainly will.
Top
man. And thank you very much. And I just wish them all the very, very best. And I love Eddie, and I love what's happened to the club. I think it's marvellous.
Great stuff. Ted, take care. Good to speak to you.